Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Blah, 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 blah.
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Fred Kirsch.
Our show should make pots bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Check it out.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
You're distracted. Paul was late.
And Paul just walked in with some bad news. We'll get to, well, I don't know if it's bad news or not, but we'll get to it in a second. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking about Patriots and everything else. Combine just started today. Andy and Eric are there. They'll be calling it at some point. I don't know exactly when. Did we find out exactly when they might be calling in?
No, Andy said he's going to try to call when he gets a break because they are a steady stream of people going to the podium already.
Okay.
A lot of coaches and GM types have already gone. Matter of fact, I don't know if you saw this, but John Fox, Denver Broncos' new coach,
yep,
actually named Kyle Orton the starter. He's our starting quarterback.
There you go. News coming out of the combine. That's
kind of strange, I thought.
It's good stuff. I know B-Lo already had a post. The first video from Indianapolis is already up on Patriots.com, kind of previewing what they'll be up to for the next few days. But it's really cool that they're going to have a lot more. I mean, they had a lot of video last year on Patriots.com, but a lot of it came when they came home. But now they have the ability to just get it posted as they get it. That, you know, another reason to stay glued to Patriots.com for the next few days through the weekend for all your combine news. And, you know, I see Andy and Eric are now tweeting. It's scary.
Fred,
but
even
true.
I sent out a tweet yesterday.
Yeah, Paul sent it. I retweeted it. So there's a lot of stuff coming out from Indianapolis. And like Paul said, real hard news, not just fluff. You know, good stuff.
Just the bad news that you alluded to at
yes.
the very beginning of the show.
Yes.
Everybody is tweeting and retweeting now about this. Evidently, they broke, the two sides broke, and they agreed.
We're talking about the CBA now.
Right.
Yep.
They agreed to resume talks on next Tuesday, March 1st. So that's the plan. The mediations director, Cohen, I recommended, and the parties have agreed to resume the mediation process in my office commencing next Tuesday, and that's under the auspices of George Cohen, obviously.
Okay, so here's now, my speculation. Right,
hold on one
all
second.
Right,
I just want to read something. Cohen also was quoted as saying, this is from Albert Breer, some progress was made, but very strong differences remain on all the important core issues that separate parties. So I don't think it's bad, you know, it's catastrophic news by any stretch of the imagination. But most of the writers are opining, Judy Batista being one, not great news that they still remain far apart. I think people were sort of hopeful with the introduction of the mediator, you know, kind of making a little bit more civil.
Yep.
The discourse. I think people were maybe a little bit hopeful, but we'll see what happens.
It's been seven days.
Tuesday.
So here's my speculation.
It's been seven straight days, Fred.
Right. This is purely speculation.
Just get
my
the combine
part.
And let the combine be the show.
Well, no, not just that. But I also think that, yes, they are probably still far apart in certain things. But they're concrete things. They're, you know, they know exactly where the separation is. So my guess is that Cohen said, look, here's where we are. Take a break. Go back, take the weekend, take a long weekend, And both sides, think of how you might be able to come a little closer from your end. And we'll resume on Tuesday.
What is this, homework?
Yes, exactly. On those specific issues, think long and hard about it. You know, and it would be great if both of you could come back with something that, you know, is some form of compromise. You know, don't come back on Tuesday with exactly the same stance you have today. Or, you know, why bother coming back? Why bother coming back? So the fact that they are coming back on Tuesday is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. The fact that it's not open-ended, I think, is a positive. Obviously, they don't have a whole lot of time, you know, to make the deadline of March 4th when the new league year was set to begin. But
once they get the principle,
you can always extend it.
Exactly.
If they make some progress, you can always extend that deadline, which is good.
Right.
But I do think a couple of things. Number one, I think that the league probably wants these college kids to be in the spotlight this week. This combine has become a big, big business deal for the NFL.
And maybe some of the owners want to be there at the combine or some of the on the NFLPA side, maybe, you know, they want to be.
Yeah, I don't know about stuff like that, but I think they want the story right now to be the combine. The combine has become big business
big
for the
business.
NFL. It's on NFL Network now. There's a lot to be gained by the league with events like the combine. So I think they want that to be front and center right now and not necessarily these labor talks.
If we could get betting on combine results like we do on NFL games, there you go.
Well, it's funny that you say that. They do actually have odds on things.
Oh, do they?
Bodog. It's one of the things that I told you about that Ian Rappaport from the Boston Herald posted on his blog yesterday. Bodog has tons of different odds. Who will run the fastest 40, who will bench press 225 the most, or whatever it is. What do they bench? Is it 225?
225, right. Yep. That's interesting.
I didn't know if it was like Andy Hart like benching. It was 325. I didn't.
No, he doesn't. Even Andy doesn't do that for reps. He does that to max.
Oh, he does.
Put them down.
Hey, old friend Mike Vrabel.
We're looking at pictures of Mike Vrabel and Jeff Saturday walking in, Roger Goodell and some bald guy next to him. And then there's Mr. Cohen. So
I was going to say, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, that's the mediator
good
on
for
NFL
you, Freddie.
Network.
Good,
right
Fred.
So anyway, not good that they're not talking, but I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense, and it's good that they have, like you said, a finite time where they're going to come back. So, you know, what would be the reason to come back if there's just nowhere to go?
Yeah.
So don't get too discouraged if you're an NFL fan, which all of you listening are. PFW in progress, the email address, webradio@patriots.com, and 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline.
Freddie, you ever seen this message, Twitter is over capacity?
Yeah, that comes up quite a lot.
Keep getting it. There must be a lot of news breaking right now or something.
There could be between...
Well, everybody and their mother is retweeting the fact that they broke off talks. That was all like within the last 5 minutes.
Well, that plus there might be something going on with Libya.
Well, it was the NBA trade deadline today, too.
Oh, there you go. So just a lot of things all coming to create the perfect storm for Twitter.
Is it all in one? Yeah, I suppose it is. It's all. It's not like segregated in any way.
Well,
it's all
no, they.
One, right?
I'm sure they do what we, even the Patriots, do. Is they do what we call caching servers all over the globe. So depending on where you are geographically, you're hitting a different server. So it's not all coming into one server. But even with Twitter, you know, they could reach their capacity. They're not like. Google at this point.
Get this nice picture of a whale being lifted out of the water.
Yeah, by birds.
Yeah.
I don't think they have
the most interesting thing.
I don't
think
they have the hardware that a Google has at this point yet. So, all right. So that's the CBA again. Andy and Eric will be calling in at some point when they get a break from the combine. We'll get the latest from them. Couple interesting things that have already come out. Andy was tweeting yesterday because it affects, you know, his guy Quinny. Pro Football Weekly has Quinn going in the second round. So Andy tweeted out either they know something or they don't know anything.
Which is an Andyism.
Right. And then Mike Mayock, on the other hand, says he's speculating that once Quinn does his workout, he'll shoot up to maybe the number one overall pick.
Yeah, Mayock said he watched a lot of tape on Quinn from 08 and 09, obviously the last time that he played, 3 years ago and 2 years ago, seasons ago, I should say, not years, and was just very impressed with him, and he has really shot up Mike Mayock's board. He has him he has him at the top of those outside, you know, edge guys now. And he says that once he works out, he's gonna light it up and he's gonna blow up, and he thinks he could go as high as the number one overall pick. That's, you know, a big discrepancy from between the second round that one prognostication has and
right.
the number one overall pick. That's not like he could go in the second or third round. This is a much bigger gap between 1 and 33 than there is between, say, you know, 80 and 130.
Yeah.
That's a huge gap.
Because, you know, it's interesting because it is a huge gap. And one is saying he didn't play at all last year. And, you know, there's still going to be that injury doubt, and that's going to push in the second. And the other is saying, you know, he's rehabbed so well but from his injury that
Freddie, he's not an injury guy. He was ineligible. That's
oh, really?
Why he didn't play.
Oh, he didn't
he wasn't
play
hurt.
Oh.
He was one of the North Carolina guys that was found to have accepted
oh,
gifts or something.
Oh, well, my bad.
You know,
but
one of those things.
So then I would side more with Mayock than I would with Pro
I don't
Football
see it,
Weekly.
I don't see any way he's a second
yeah,
round guy.
I
don't know if he's going to be the number one overall
right,
pick, but
I think, he'd
I think
be
he's
a first
round talent.
Yeah.
He certainly was heading into last year and then didn't get to play. I don't see how you lose that, you know. I don't see how you lose that rank that dramatically that you fall all the way out of the first round.
What was Pro Football Weekly's reason for having him?
I don't know. You
round?
Told me about it.
Well, I only heard it
oh,
from
Andy.
Oh,
that's right. You heard it from Andy.
Yeah.
Knowing Andy, he probably just made it up to try to make Quinny look better.
So, it's interesting because Pro Football Weekly's pretty good. They're
very good. Mayock is, you know, I don't like his style, but Mayock has become one of the more respected draft guys.
Yeah, Mayock's good too.
I don't like. He seems to me he's one of those guys that someone tells him something and he passes it off as his own evaluation. That's why I don't really like his style. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah.
You know, he's working for NFL Network and he has someone whispering in his ear who the pick is, and he's, you know, he's telling you who the pick is. Well, we know you know. It's blatantly obvious.
Who does I mean, years ago, Pro Football Weekly was a combination of them and Joel Buschbaum. But who does
Nolan Naraki.
Nolan Naraki is the head guy?
Yeah, he's the Joel Buschbaum of today.
Is it also Hub Arkush that's involved or those guys?
I'm not sure what he does with the draft. Okay. I'm sure he's involved with that too as well. You know, I think there's another Arkush. I think Hub is the old man, right?
Yeah.
And there's I think he has a son.
Okay.
I'm not sure what his first name is. But, yeah, they're involved in that stuff. Nolan Naraki is the guy who has the name on the PFW draft guide nowadays, like Joel Buschbaum. Now, I don't think he is as well regarded as Buschbaum was. Bill Belichick spoke very highly of Joel Buschbaum.
They like Joel
back in the day.
Yeah. So we'll see. That's an interesting nugget that's coming out. That discrepancy, probably two of the leading guys other than Todd McShay and Mel Kiper. I would say those three. Entities are kind of the leading. Our lads is not far away.
PFW and certainly ESPN's draft coverage, along with Mayock on NFL Network, I think those are the three entities that you need to sort of follow a little bit more closely than most.
Right. All right.
There's so many of them out there, though. There's tons and tons out there.
But they have the best.
I mean, the draft scout guys, too. You know, NFL draft scout, they're very good, too.
Yeah.
I think they're affiliated now with CBSSports.com.
Yep.
You know, our guy
Rob Rang
is a real up and comer.
What happened to Frank Coyle?
I don't know whatever happened. He got taken out with the wall. All of a sudden, the draft became really, really big, and then he was gone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, all right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. What else we got going on? Logan Mankins has not signed his.
Yeah, that's another interesting little element. You talked about the news, the hard news that's coming out, Freddie. There's some guys now starting to sign their franchise tenders, which is, I think, for the guys who are not in their sixth year do not have 6 years of service, I should say, not in their sixth year. Do not have 6 years of service is a wise move. It's insurance. It's like the whole thing with the lockout insurance for the owners with the four billion dollars from the networks.
Right.
You know, that people, that's the big lawsuit that's coming up that's going to have the ruling.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's a just course of action for the league. I think guys like Lamar Woodley, who have the possibility of still being a restricted free agent until there's a new CBA that says they're not. If for example, I think he's got 5 years of service. So let's just say worst case scenario for the players, they get a new CBA and that the lockout rules that we had last year remain in place and 5 years still only makes you a restricted free agent. If you don't sign your franchise tender, which is over $10 million, the team's going to take that away and tender you with a restricted free agent offer of about what, $3 million?
Mm.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money you could lose.
It could be, but on the other hand, I'd be worried if I was a player that these owners get together and they say any free agent tag that's already out there is null and void. We're starting over.
Oh, that's fine for the players. That makes him a free agent.
Okay.
He's going to make a lot more than $10
million. Okay.
I'll tell you that.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. No, the players actually hope that the franchise tag goes away.
Right.
Just for the way usage said it, and then they'll all become free agents. It's like 500 of them that are going to become unrestricted free agents. Guys like Lamar Woodley are going to do very well in the open market.
You don't think there's any chance that they could do both? They could take away franchise, but, you know, the owners say, okay, we'll take away the franchise tag, but it's now 6 years to become a free agent?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, that's negotiations. Yeah. A lot of those different things could happen.
Right. So, but you're right. A lot of these guys are.
Regardless,
signing.
He has done nothing to hurt himself.
Right.
He has insurance there. Listen, if the franchise tag goes away, he doesn't get the $10 million. For Mankins, it doesn't make any difference because he's going to be a free agent no matter what the system is.
Yeah.
He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. He's going to wait as long as he can before he signs the franchise tender and not have to subject himself to any of the off-season programs.
Sure. So, a few guys, I think Woodley's one. Who else signed? There's at least four guys that I heard.
I think Ryan Khalil from Carolina also signed.
Harris signed.
David Harris also signed his free agent tender. Again, all those guys do not have 6 years experience.
Right.
So they're not going to be unrestricted free agents no matter what, the way Mankins would.
So now you get to Mankins and you say, well, why hasn't he signed? He does have 6 years of experience.
And this doesn't mean that the union is sort of relented on their feelings of fighting this franchise, the franchise situation with, the unrestricted free agents, because they still do intend to fight it. Their point of view is you can't give me something in the 2011 year when there is no 2011 year. The CBA is not agreed upon. So there is no such. We don't know the rules going forward, and you're operating under old rules. That's what the union is contending. The league is protecting itself by making sure that we're going to use all of our resources that we have currently,
right?
And then we'll worry about what the rules are in the future when we get to those.
Right.
So both sides, I think, are operating properly. I think they're both covering their all their bases on both ends.
It would be nice though if Logan signed that.
Well, yeah, to know he's going to be back.
Right.
I think that you're going to end up getting that anyway. It's just probably not going to happen until, training camp.
Yeah.
So, I think there's very little chance that he's not here.
Knowing that Mankins is going to be back, it just helps you in your draft evaluation.
No, you're right.
You're
right. But unless they intend on trading him, you know he's going to be there.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to have a choice.
Unless, like you said, they might get rid of the franchise tag.
Well, if that happens, it's going to happen quick.
Yeah.
It's going to happen when the CBA,
Yeah. So.
It's such a mess. It really is. Everything requires a but.
Yeah. And
you can't make any statements about anything that's happening right now in the NFL without saying, until the CBA is agreed upon, or unless this happens, but that might happen.
And I think the owners understand, and Roger Goodell understand, and the Players Association. The off-season's become really cool. It's become its own entity in the NFL.
Right.
There's always something going on, and it's stuff that can be exploited by the league for revenue, for fan interest, and it's a shame to have a disruption of that this year. So far we haven't, but, we're getting to the brink here.
Yeah, you're right. And it has become, And I was just looking back, you know, getting ready to publish our next issue, which we'll do in 2 weeks. You know, after the boys get back from the combine, and this is a big combine wrap,
right?
Issue. We have a lot of information that Eric and Andy uncover out in Indy. But just looking back at the issue last year, you know, what was on our cover was you know, Vince Wilfork. It was like staying power,
right?
You know, because he had re-signed. Well, we have no chance to have a big splashy right. cover like that this year because we're not going to have anything like that.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope. And you know, I hear that if there is a lockout, there is a chance that teams won't even be allowed to use player images in any of its publications as long as the lockout's in force.
Wouldn't that be really?
Makes it pretty
really...
tough to publish a newspaper and a website if you can't use your own players' images.
Yeah, I mean, that goes all the way. Like, you know, we think about it in terms, you know, in our terms, like you said, with the things that we published, yearbook, the newspaper, the website, when we put up a story. Yesterday, I was at an event that Ron Brace was at. We had an action shot of Ron Brace that we put up with a story. But take it a step further, the whole website, you know, you have player bios.
Right.
Tom Brady's little headshot. Can't use it. You know, yeah. I mean, if it gets that confrontational and just that nasty,
yeah,
that won't be a good sign.
No. And it'll be a real pain in the ass. To put it mildly. Or not mildly, I don't know. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Doc is tweeting, Fred, promoting the show.
Doc has a
tweet. Yeah, he has a tweet. A PFW in progress is live on Patriots.com. Call Fred and Paul at 508-543-7482.
How many followers does Doc have?
I'll look that up.
11.
Just click on his icon. How many?
It's working because the phones are ringing.
It says it right there. What does it say? Oh, for God's sake.
Why
he's going to drive a truck?
He's a truck guy.
It's a menace.
He's a truck guy. Listen. Oh. Kid gloves with Kevin.
Why?
Because his dad might be listening. He'll get mad at us.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Kevin's dad is mad at Paul because he thinks Paul's too tough on him.
I didn't treat Kevin fairly on Tuesday. So.
No, you were fine.
I like.
Someone's going to toughen me up.
You know, I was making fun of Kevin. I go, so, you know, you got a truck. You're going to be hauling a lot of stuff. He goes, well, you know, I don't know. He goes, well, and I said, well, why don't you get one of those caps? And then you can, you know, it can be like an RV. You can go. And he said, yeah, that's what my dad said. You know, now I can go camping. I go, you go camping a lot? He goes, not really.
It's good. He's got 178 followers, Fred.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad, no. I got like seven, so.
How many do you have,
Kills
Fred?
Me.
A little over 500.
500, okay. I'll
but I'm
check.
Not, I mean, like, guys like guys like Reese have like 20,000.
Oh, God. I mean, they've been doing it forever, though. I've you been know? Doing it for what day?
But, you know, the Patriots Twitter has well over 70,000, and Ashton Kutcher has over a million. So maybe we can get him to start tweeting Patriots stuff, and then we're all set. So, all right.
Up.
Yeah, Andy was tweeting last night. I worry about him.
Yeah, I am on the verge of unfollowing Andy.
You know, because some of his tweets were good, but then he's like tweeting about MILFs in Indy.
Yeah.
That's kind of stuff that is going to get us in trouble.
Yeah.
I didn't
see that one.
That's why for the last 2 years, Paul, I said no tweeting. You know, now I hope I don't regret. Or maybe he's doing it to make me regret it.
Yeah, I made a big mistake.
Crazy like a fox?
Yeah, exactly.
I made a big mistake, Freddie, trying to look for, we were talking about new opens and movies we could use yesterday.
Yeah.
And I went just to see, now that we have Verizon, I went on demand to see if it would save me the trouble of, like, you know, getting this stuff on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I was looking for them, I searched 40-year-old virgin, and it was just all porn that came up. I was like, ah, turn it off.
Is that right? Really? Okay. All right. Let's get to some emails. It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
Right.
Or hear it.
Yeah, when you hear pornography, how do you know?
Let's see. Anders in Norway writes in, hey, big shout out, good listening. What is your opinion of Julian Edelman, and will he improve or get replaced in the near future? That's Anders in Norway. I think Edelman has a future here. I mean, he's a multi-talented guy. He can return punts and kicks, I'm assuming. And he's getting better as a wide receiver. So I don't see any reason why they'd be looking to replace him.
Well, I think he's good Welker insurance because I think that he fits that mold of the inside slot receiver. He's proven that he can perform in that situation. I don't know if he's not saying he's going to be Wes Welker. I'm not saying he's going to catch 125 passes in that role, but I think he can be a pretty productive guy if something were to happen to Welker. And Welker's also entering the last year of his contract, so who knows how long he's going to be around. And as Freddie pointed out, he gave you a nice little burst as a punt returner last year over the last half of the season. In fact, he ended up finishing second in the NFL behind Devin Hester in that category. Yeah. So he's a guy that I think the Patriots would be wise to hold on to. Is he a difference-making guy? Is he a guy to build your offense around? No. But I think he's a reasonably important piece to your puzzle over the next couple of years.
Might think about cutting that hair, though. That's,
Well, I think he did shave right after they
lost.
Did
Brady cut his hair?
I haven't seen Brady.
I heard he did for some reason.
I mean, at some point he would have had to, no? I mean, at some point he just gets so long.
I thought I heard someone say that they saw him after the season was over and he had cut his hair.
Yeah, I haven't seen Brady since the season was over. I've seen some photos, but I'm not sure if they're current photos or, what the deal is.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eric with a K is on the line, but it's not our Eric. It's Eric in California on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Eric.
I sure in the heck hope Brady cut his hair. I think after all those Justin Bieber comments, he might have. Anyway, the question that I had is, what direction do you think the Patriots are going to go in this year's draft? Do you think they're going to go after some linebackers or some defensive backs?
You know, obviously, we get asked that every year, and there's no way of telling.
As fluky when we're right as it is.
If you're asking me, I hope that they look at this offseason as a way to make that defense better.
Yeah, I think that the outside edge guy, we continue to, Andy and I have been on this bandwagon for a couple of years now. We're hoping that that's where they look. I think offensive line is an area that they're going to look to beef up a little bit. I think they need linebackers, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, probably a running back, maybe a wide receiver. I think there's a lot of different areas, but to me, the one that stands out is the edge rusher.
I mean, last year, how many people said, they're going to look at cornerbacks in the first round?
Not many.
Not many.
Not many. That's why the biggest surprise for me was that position.
Yeah.
And we said it that night when we drafted him. We all liked Devin McCourty, just didn't understand cornerback. Now, in retrospect, we see it.
Right.
That was a special player.
Yeah.
Well, I guess some of my questions do come with, we say defensive pass rusher, but we let Seymour go. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been a Pats fan for a long time, and Bill Belichick's a genius, and it seems like he makes anything and everything work. I do think we need some offensive line protection because Brady's just got blitzed to death, especially by the Jets. I mean, the Jets just seem to be amping up, and their whole goal is to do nothing but beat New England, which unfortunately happened. Hopefully we can turn it around. Be interesting to see what the draft is. Appreciate your guys taking my call.
Okay, yeah. Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric from California. Eric brings up a good point about protection from Brady. Obviously, when you have a franchise quarterback like Brady, your offensive line is your top priority. And if Mankins doesn't return, then perhaps offensive line, leapfrogs pass rusher as far as a priority.
Yeah, it could.
Because you can't have Brady exposed.
And you could also lose Mankins and Light. So you have to be concerned about those kinds of things. And you had made a point earlier, Fred, that if you don't know what's going to happen with the CBA come April, come the draft, how does that affect you?
Sure.
It'd be one thing to say, well, listen, free agency's here. It's the end of April. It's April 28th. We know Matt Light's going to be back. We've re-signed him. And we know Logan Mankins is probably going to be back because we have the franchise tag on him out there, and he has very little – we don't have any interest in trading him. So maybe that's a less of a need than we think. But on April 28th, they're not going to know that more than likely.
Right.
The way things are going right now. They're not going to know the situations for Mankins and Light.
Aaron in Houston says, hello again, gentlemen. I appreciate you reading my email Tuesday. I've got a real beef with these ESPN Nimrods who last season came out of the woodwork showing their ass as Pats haters. From Tom Waxson's cowardly comments to supposedly fire up the Jets defense, Brian Kenny's ignorant, pathetic, Brady's overrated trash, Sal Gal's egging on of Fart Scott after the playoff win, and Schlongif's Spygate reference. Seems these Jags are all stamped off the same assembly line and wanted your thoughts. Y'all are the best conduit for Patriots talk and info, and I appreciate it. Great job, Aaron in Houston. I think that
the Tom Jackson thing was an embarrassment.
I think that if you're a national commentator, by making an anti-Patriot remark, you know you're going to get a certain amount of audience applauding it.
Because yeah, so I don't know. Because so those other guys that he mentioned, I don't know. I don't know any examples. I don't the Brian Kenny thing. I don't even know what he said.
Who's Brian Kenny?
He's a guy on ESPN.
Is he?
I mean, he's not an analyst. He's a host.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he said
about. SportsCenter anchor guy.
Yeah, I don't know what he said about Brady. Sal Pal interviewed Bart Scott, and Bart Scott said.
Well, I know all about that.
Yeah, Bart Scott, that had nothing to do with Sal Pal. Bart Scott was pissed that everybody picked against him.
Right.
And he was letting everybody know.
Right.
Including Tom Jackson. Right. That's what sparked that whole thing.
Right.
That had nothing to do with Sal Pal.
No, it didn't.
The Tom Jackson thing, an utter embarrassment.
Yeah.
If he honestly tried to use, quote, reverse psychology to spur on the Jets, first of all, he shouldn't have a dog in the race.
Right.
A horse in the race, whatever. You know,
yeah, in the race.
He shouldn't, try to stay away from the
back of the leg.
I try to stay away from those dog in the fight references.
Right, well, that's true.
You know, nowadays. He shouldn't have a vested interest in winning. I mean, if it's the Broncos, the team he played for, I guess that's understandable. But why he should be letting his feelings known that I'm rooting for the Jets in this game over the Patriots, that's, to me, absurd.
And why, as a commentator, you should give two you-know-what to what a player thinks of you in your pick. I mean, that's just, you're not a player anymore. You're not going to see this guy in the field.
Can you imagine
a job to do.
Can you imagine if you worked for PFW?
Oh, my
God. When we went to Miami last year, and the players are all giving us the cold shoulder.
Right.
And most of it was tongue-in-cheek. We knew that. They were busting our chops. Tully was really giving us a hard time. But can you imagine how he would have changed his opinions in coward?
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Unbelievable.
And we work for the team.
Unbelievable. These guys, they just want to be part of the action again and make your
they
own
just
action.
Want everybody to like them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have everybody like you.
No. If you are so worried about that, don't have a pick segment. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brooklyn Matt wants to start a campaign. What's it all about, Brooklyn Matt?
Or Eric.
What?
That's right. This is not Brooklyn Matt. This is Brooklyn Eric, but I have equal disdain for Andy. Andy, you're an insufferable prick.
Well, he's not on the show, but we'll relay the message.
Wow.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Wow. I will relay that message, though, however, because I liked your message.
Andy's in Indy. He'll be calling in later. We'll let him know.
Now, this is I'm confused over who we're talking to now.
Is this Eric?
This is Brooklyn Eric?
That's correct.
Okay.
Although I'm not trying to co-opt the Brooklyn surname.
No, you're from Brooklyn.
Or prename, whatever, from Brooklyn, Matt.
We're big in Brooklyn. Now, whereabouts in Brooklyn are
Brooklyn's
you? Sheepshead Bay?
I'm in Williamsburg, the home of all the hipsters out here.
Okay. All right, Williamsburg. Great.
Hey,
Brooklyn's
going
to
get a lot hipper in a couple of years when the Nets get there.
The Nets are moving
to
Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Really?
The New Jersey Nets?
Yeah. Cool. I mean, we'll have Darren Williams and everything.
Do you know anything that's not involving the NFL?
No. I know Carmelo Anthony got traded to the Knicks.
Right, and Darren Williams just got traded to the Nets.
Oh.
And they're going to be playing in Brooklyn in another year or two.
All right. My dad was born in Brooklyn. I can say that.
All right, so what else you got? What else you got, Eric?
All right, so I'm thinking leading into the draft, what do you guys think about trading Merriweather? Do you guys think we can get any value for him?
No, but I still like it.
Paul just wants to give him away.
I would.
What if we trade him for Bob Sanders, straight up?
Well, Bob Sanders is a free agent. So
I know. We'll trade him for nothing. Just cut
that's what I'm all for it. I'm all for trading him
So, in other words, get rid of Merriweather and sign Bob Sanders.
Right.
Sign Bob Sanders for a short-term deal, maybe some accelerators if he plays.
All right. Here, I know everyone's going to scream at me, but here, is there a chance – that in coverage, just in coverage, Brandon Merriweather's better than Bob Sanders?
No.
Really?
I don't think Brandon Merriweather does anything well. I don't think he does absolutely anything
well. But
does
Bob Sanders cover at all?
A little bit.
Bob Sanders covers our cornerbacks. I mean, Merriweather covers our other defensive backs. He's got them all pegged.
I agree with Eric. I don't think Merriweather does anything well.
Okay. All right.
He takes bad angles. He's out of position. He doesn't take instruction. He's got amazing speed and skill, but that's it.
But to answer your specific question, though, Fred, I misspoke. he does one thing better than Bob Sanders. He plays. He stays on the field.
Well, that's
and
true.
That's the thing. I'm not being sarcastic.
No,
Sanders can't stay on the field. And Merriweather has been pretty durable during his time.
That's
here.
True. Also, if you look at Mike Reese's compilation of all the snap counts, I believe he was the number one safety in terms of appearances on the field.
Yeah, he was, and that was part of what I'm talking about. He was durable, whereas most of the other guys missed time with injuries. He didn't. So,
and again,
I'm not being sarcastic with that. That's a fact, and that's a factor.
That's true. He's out there.
Yep. All right. Yeah. So, how are you gonna implement this campaign to trade Brandon Murray? You're gonna have a petition.
Well, I was more interested in the campaign against Andy.
Petition.
What's that?
I'm gonna start a website with a petition. It's gonna be called TradeMerriweather.com.
Okay.
You guys can all sign up.
All right.
Yeah. You're only gonna have to worry about him for one more year anyway.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, you know, it looks kind of tasty. He's got 1 year left on his contract. Teams will be like, ooh, he's a two-time Pro Bowler, mm-hmm. and they'll buy into it. We might be able to get value, a third-round pick or whatever.
I'll tell you this. If you didn't have this labor uncertainty, I think that I would put it at about 80% that he would be traded this year. Mm. I just don't think they're going to be able to.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
All right, boys.
All right.
Get in on the air there, and have a good show. Good, solid
anti-Andy rant.
Thanks,
I love
Eric
it.
From Brooklyn. This just in, given to me by Doc, the mediator George Cohen has released a statement, and you know he goes on to say why he started becoming the mediator. And I'll skip to the part. He says our time together has been devoted to establishing an atmosphere conducive to meaningful negotiations and, of course, matters of process and substance. I can report that throughout this extensive period, the parties engaged in highly focused, constructive dialogue concerning a host of issues covering both economics and player-related conditions. The tenor of the across-the-table discussions reflected a noteworthy level of mutual respect, even in the face of strongly held competing positions. The parties met both in full committee and in subcommittees where discrete technical issues lent themselves to smaller groups. At bottom, some progress was made, but very strong differences remain on the all-important core issues that separate the parties. Nonetheless, I recommended, and the parties have agreed, to resume the mediation process in my office commencing next Tuesday. During the interviewing weekend, the parties have been asked by us to assess their current positions on those outstanding issues. So I was right.
Yeah.
I have shared the terms of this release with the parties, and they have authorized me to represent it, that it accurately reflects the course of mediation to date. Due to the extraordinary sensitivity of these ongoing negotiations, the FMCS, that's his company, will refrain from any public comment while the mediation process continues. And further, I have requested, and the parties have agreed, to do likewise. So there you go. There's your update.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That is
so,
it.
You know, we'll see what happens. But Tuesday they're back. And, again, I don't think they would be going back.
And that's a good thing.
There was no reason to come back. What else you got, Doc? Anything?
That's it.
That's a good take, though. That's why you're in that booth, to hand me things like that.
Do what I can for you, Freddie.
Tell Kevin.
And that's fresh, too, Freddie. That was everybody was saying that was coming out. They were waiting. Everybody had bits and pieces of it, but
right.
and hadn't yet been released.
When Rich Eisen is looking for fresh, hot
this
news,
is Rich Eisen.
He comes here. So, all right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
More importantly, where is the food?
I don't know. We're getting food from CBS.
Kev's on his way.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dagmar in Miami's on the line. Hey, Dagmar.
How's it going, Fred? What's up, Paul?
Hey, Dagmar. Phone line's
good.
Buzzing.
Very good. Hey,
yeah.
I got to call you guys today because I see Paul is bashing a little too much on my boy from the 305 school. I mean, what's up with the Haley Brenner, man? Hey, check the numbers out. Bob Sanders, he's been longer than Merriweather in this league. You know how many interceptions he's got? Check it out. 4 interceptions. Check the Brandon Merriweather's career interception. 12. Check how many touchdowns. Brandon so far, he's got one. Bob Sanders still waiting for the first one. Tackles. Bob Sanders, 217 tackles. Brandon Merriweather, with last year, 181 tackles. Come on, man. The boy cannot be that bad.
Hey, look.
You may know that I sometimes want Dagmar, to screw off because I know that.
Listen to me, Dagmar. I have always loved Bob Sanders. I have always loved him, but you have to admit, lately he just cannot stay on the field.
Absolutely.
No, I know. What you've got over the years, like Patrick Jones stepping up, I'm making plays on special teams, and on the defensive side of the ball, that's good. I mean, when you have competition, that's what raises up the level of your team. That's good. But, I mean, he's not that bad. I get all the hate and randomly running. I am the first one that every time he screws up on a play, and we have a penalty or something because of the hit, or he hits our own guy, like it happened this season with McCourty's covering the receiver, he knocks him out, and the receiver goes on a scoring a touchdown. That was a big screwed up play by him, but I mean, he's not that bad. I mean, you'll probably be talking about a guy that he's been doing a decent job, but he just gets criticized a lot because his mental mistakes, and that's okay. I understand. We have the right to bash on him, but to say, we can trade him for, any other safety. I know Bob Sanders is a hot name in the safety position, but he's nowhere near, even though he's been on highlights and he's on the Colts and all that, he's nowhere near Brandon Merriweather in terms of production.
Well,
yeah, he does not make the mental mistakes on the breakdown that Brandon does.
Bob Sanders is a far better player than Brandon Merriweather.
I'm with you.
This is silly.
I think that because we're so close, and I've said this before, we're so close, we see every mistake that Merriweather makes. We're so critical. I don't think he's as bad
ask you this.
But you can't say that Bob Sanders is more of an impact. You have to say that
Bob Sanders is more
of an impactful player.
I have a question for both of you. Last year, the Patriots had four safeties. Patrick Chung, James Sanders, Jarrad Page, and Brandon Merriweather. Why is it that Brandon Merriweather is the only one that got a lot of criticism from fans? Forget us. From fans.
He was out there more than all the others.
So why is he getting criticized for that?
Because he's more exposed than all the others.
So he's made more mistakes than the others.
He's out there more.
Fred, he wasn't out there that much more.
Yes, he was.
He was out there a few more plays because other guys missed games.
That's exactly.
So why weren't the other guys criticized for the mistakes they made?
They weren't exposed as much as Brandon
Merriweather.
Fred,
stop. You're making a fool of yourself.
Now, listen.
Why was James Sanders not criticized like Brandon Merriweather was?
I'm not going to say that Brandon Merriweather is a Pro Bowl caliber safety. He's not. That's
sure
a joke.
Either.
That's a joke. But I'm also going to say he's not as bad as local media.
I'm not asking you how good or bad he was. I'm asking you why he was the only one that got criticized out of those safeties.
Because I think it's a trend right now.
Why did it start? Explain that to me. Just develop a trend to criticize a player for no reason.
If you were as close to this team as you were, if you were covering the Jacksonville Jaguars,
there'd be somebody as close to James Sanders too.
There'd be somebody in their defensive backfield that everybody in that media kills.
Okay, why is it Brandon Merriweather?
Because he's the guy. He's the main guy
who makes the most mistakes. End of sentence.
Okay, I'm going to say something else there. So, you know why also? Because Brandon Merriweather is a first round pick.
Well, I think that's part of the criticism, is expectation.
Patrick Chung was a second round pick. Why are there no criticism of him?
Well, listen, he wasn't out there as much as Merriweather, and he made mistakes.
Fred, he missed games with injury. That's why he wasn't out there as much.
It doesn't matter why he wasn't out. He didn't have.
You're making it sound like one guy played 1,000 plays, another guy played 10.
They
played like the difference of about 30 snaps.
No, I think it was a lot more than
that. No, it wasn't.
Well, I'm telling you.
Because Patrick Chung never lost his job for performance.
Brandon
Merriweather did twice.
You know, I think that Merriweather has significant flaws in his game, but I also think that he made some good plays too. So I'm kind of in the middle here. I'm not totally on board with Merriweather, but I'm not killing him like everybody else.
It's not about you're doing it, Andy. You're overstating it.
People want to just give him away,
but no one. It's not about killing or not killing. I have a simple question. You keep blowing this off like, well, this is what everybody does when they examine their team closely. The Patriots had 22 starters last year on offense and defense. More than that, because they started a million different guys on defense. Why is it that he is in everybody's crosshairs? Why is he the one?
I think it's a combination. He does make some mistakes. I think he was a first
more
round
than
pick.
Other people.
I think he's a first round pick, and people were disappointed in his production for where he was picked. I think his attitude, I think, you know, puts him in the limelight a lot on the field, so that exposes him even more. He doesn't help his own case, you know, to bottom line. So, you know, look,
what is his attitude?
Well, you know, the celebrating after a hit after a 12-yard gain, that type of stuff.
So if he was celebrating after a hit after a 2-yard gain, would he get criticized?
Depending on the score, yeah. I don't think anybody should celebrate after a hit.
No, my point is he wouldn't be getting criticized if they were good hits at good times and big plays.
He gets
criticized because he celebrates plays that didn't prevent first downs.
I think there were a
and
lot
he's
of
right to get criticized.
There were a lot of reasons why the Patriots were last in the league in third down defense. I don't think all of it was Brandon Merriweather.
I'm not saying it was all Brandon Merriweather either. I'm asking you why he got more than the Lions.
I just told you
because he made more mistakes than the other guys in the secondary,
and
that's why he didn't play more snaps than Devin McCourty, did he?
Do you think that? I should hope not. But do you think that
Why?
Do you think that there's a chance that some of what we think are mistakes, the coaching staff knows weren't totally his fault?
Why is he at periodic times during the course of the season losing his playing time when everybody's healthy? Why is he coming out of games?
I think a lot of it has to do with attitude
because he's making mistakes, Fred.
Right.
That's why.
All right.
He's not playing as well as Chung and Sanders and McCourty and the other guys in the secondary. That's why he lost playing time at times. When everybody was healthy, he was the odd guy out a couple of times.
All right.
But unfortunately, not everybody was healthy at the same time often enough.
You know, maybe the coaches...
That doesn't make him the worst player in football.
You would think he is.
But that's the way you act. You treat it like everybody says he's the worst player in football.
I think people do.
People have tired of his act here because he doesn't play well.
Okay.
Not because they don't like him. They don't like it the way he plays.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Do we need to take a break here? Because I saw an email. Andy's trying to get through on the phone line.
Well, why don't we do that?
So is that Andy? No? I heard him. I didn't hear. I read an email from him saying, get off the phone. I'm trying to call. So... He hasn't called. Now he's probably given up now. Oh, that's it.
They don't want to take my call.
I'm not going to call. I can just see that. And then Ian Rappaport tweets that Andy's no longer a part of the show.
And Andy just exploded.
Right.
Wait a minute. Why is Ian Rappaport tweeting that he's no longer part of the show?
Well, he tweets everything else. Why not? We should have a PFW in progress incident in Indianapolis.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yep.
You think Andy would actually kill Eric?
Well, I'll read this email while Kevin gets our lunch ready.
Why exactly are you getting our lunch ready?
Mike in Idaho writes in.
You're doing a fine job, by the way, Kevin. I want to get back on your father's good graces.
Hello, men of PFW. I had an interesting morning today that included the help of PFW with a moose encounter. I live in the Rocky Mountain West and have easy access to national forest trails. This morning, I was cross-country skiing with my dog on a trail, not so ironically called Moose Creek. I don't actually listen to a podcast while on a trail, but I decided I needed some more information about Northeastern hockey and UFL coaching openings, so I took PFW in progress along. While I was skiing, PFW hit a break, and I stopped to fast forward. As I was looking down at my MP3 player, I heard some rumblings and looked up and saw my dog was being chased by a moose, and they were coming right at me. Before I could do anything, the moose had gone by me to my left, not more than 5 feet away as it headed off the trail into the deep snow. I live in a pretty rural area and have run into moose before, but I have never been that close and certainly not that close to one charging at me. The fact that I did not know it was coming was probably a good thing. As to the moose, I was some dude standing there not making any movements and probably not a threat. Had I actually seen it coming, things might have gone differently and been much worse for me. So thank you, PFW, for all your Patriots knowledge and moose encounter skills. But what happened to the dog?
I have a question for you.
What?
What's the plural of moose?
Meese. No, moose. It's just moose.
Just moose?
Yeah. Sorry for the long note, but I do have
Thanks, Eric.
I do have a Patriots question if you are game.
If you were the GM of the Patriots and you looked at the roster with a lot of young talent added in the last few years, would you have a bias for staying at your current position and drafting the talent that is offered with all those picks in the first three rounds, or would you use that as leverage to maneuver and get more premium players? I realize that the Patriots' MO has been to maneuver to find value through the draft, and that usually does not mean trading up. But with the current makeup of the roster, coupled with this year's amount of draft picks, does that make a case in your imaginary GM mind for a change in thinking? So, I
good question.
It is a good question.
I think that they need some premium talent.
Yeah,
but I'm not banking on the fact that Belichick will agree with that line of thinking and be, you know, clamoring to
we'll
move
see.
Up.
I mean,
do think that they need an upgrade in talent.
Yeah, I do think that they adhere to their value and the rankings that they have on their board. But that value could easily be up ahead of where they are as it is below. It really just depends. And don't make the mistake of, you know, pegging them to do a certain thing, whether it's moving up or down. They will look at each draft individually, and they look at each player based on the value that they've got. And a lot of players could have the same value, and when they think that they can get the same value by trading down and picking up picks, they'll do it. On the other hand, they could have a guy that, you know, has a lot of value that, you know, is ahead of them that they think that they're going to lose, at 17 if they don't go for him. So they'll pick him at that spot, you know. So we'll see. We'll see. You just can't – there is no one thing that they do. And I think people make the mistake of saying that's
you
what
they
do.
You and I are in lockstep on that one. Absolutely.
All right. Now we'll take a break at PFW in Progress. A lot of emails. Hopefully Andy will not give up and call in, and we'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the View of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff, you know, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, you know, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Richard Seymour, good to hear from him. He made out all right. He's done very well in his career in the NFL.
You reach Richard Seymour fan hotline.
Well, that didn't do too well. But other than that, he's done okay.
Hey, young lady, what's your name?
All right, PFW in Progress. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Lunch today was given to us by Greg from the billing department.
Now, does that mean that he just billed the organization?
I don't know. But it's excellent. It's from CBS Scene.
Yeah, and, very nice, Greg. Thank you very much.
If you happen to be in the Foxborough area, visit Patriot Place in CBS Scene, the Hall of Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon.
Presented by Raytheon.
I would
Patriot
recommend
Patriot Place. It's all here.
Okay. You should do the VO for that.
Yeah. I think I'm stealing that from somebody else, though. For some reason, I think some other...
Oh, I thought that was the slogan.
No. I think some other place has It's All Here. Or is that us? I don't know. Anyway, it makes sense because it is. All right. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. Has Andy called in yet?
I've been sitting here turning away people waiting for his call, but I haven't heard from him.
Oh, he's in trouble if he doesn't call back. Maybe something happened.
Did you respond to him at all? Telling him that he should call now?
Yeah, email him. Tell him we're holding a line open for him. Or we're holding the line open for him. Actually, we're getting a big upgrade to the studio. And with the upgrade...
New phone screen, right?
Yeah, in about a month or so, we'll have several lines. So we can have like a guest hotline.
You'll be in charge of... picking up and dropping the calls, too, I think.
I will be?
Oh, I think that's how it works.
That's going to be a problem. A lot of drop calls I foresee in my
future. Well, I'll screen them, and then they'll pop up on a monitor for you, Freddie, and then you'll be able to kind of like on a touch screen, hopefully, answer the call and then drop it when you want.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. Connor in Abu Dhabi writes in, Dear Fred and Paul, it really is amazing how polite the show is without Andy there, but entertaining as always. anyway, with all the draft discussion at the moment and the apparent need for defense, I'm interested in knowing how you would line out your starters for next season. Now, obviously, so many things can happen, including not having a season. But based on the team that the Patriots currently have and the draft picks coming, could you list your team, put an X where a draft choice would go? That's almost impossible.
In a perfect world, the X would go at outside linebacker.
Right. This would lead me to ask what you see in the future of Cunningham. Have you given up?
No, Cunningham with another outside linebacker.
Right.
In a perfect world.
What the likelihood of getting day one starters from the draft is? Well, with two first-round picks, you're hoping to get at least two.
I think you're
looking at, you're assuming Ty Warren's going to get back. And you're assuming Lee Bodden's going to come back. So Lee Bodden takes the other cornerback position opposite McCourty. Ty Warren is on the line where Gerard Warren is. There's probably still an X at that other spot. Now, Gerard Warren could also – he was going to be a starter when the season started. You had the three Ws, the World Wide Web on the defensive line, Wilfork, Warren, and Warren.
that could happen again this year. But I wouldn't rule out upgrading the defensive line. Obviously, there's a big X opposite Cunningham, an outside linebacker. I think you're hoping Spikes makes the leap, and he becomes your first and second down linebacker next to Mayo. And then in your backfield, you know, again, we talked about McCourty and Bodden. But on the safeties, okay, now you're talking. Now, you know, does Chung, you know, is he your de facto starter at safety along with...
Oh, yeah, Chung is entrenched.
Yeah, along with Merriweather. Or, you know, does McGowan, who, you know, probably will be coming back, or Page, take over that safety? I think that safety is another spot where, hey, they might try to upgrade through the draft.
I think they're very deep at safety. I think that unless you start giving away guys.
But how can you say that when you think
that? Because I think you have Sanders, Chung, McGowan.
I forgot about Sanders, yeah.
I mean, right. I think you're very deep there. That's the one area on defense last year that I think that they would deepen.
See, I think, though, that when you look at Sanders, Chung, and McGowan, you're looking at more closer to the line safeties. I think they could do better in a coverage safety. I think they could upgrade that spot.
I mean, you can always use another guy that can cover. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I
don't think that that's a glaring need.
I don't think that they're that deep, Paul, when it comes to third down.
But you're looking for corners, not safeties on third down. That's the problem, is the Patriots would go to six and seven defensive backs, and there'd be four safeties out there.
Okay, let me...
And you'd be asking Chung to cover somebody in the slot.
Let me rephrase
which
that.
Which is not really his strength. Jonathan Wilhite was that guy, or Darius Butler was that guy last year, you wouldn't be worried about the safety's coverage ability.
Let me rephrase that. I think with so many teams now passing on first and second down, you need one of your safeties to be a better coverage guy than what we have.
No, I think you need cornerbacks to match up with multiple receivers.
Well, not if you're lining up.
You're not going to ask.
If you line up in your base on first down.
What's the other team lined up in?
But it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
They're passing out of all formations.
Fred, if they're lined up in five receiver sets and you're spreading the field with three and four safeties, you're going to be in trouble. If they're lined up two wide receivers and a tight end and they're throwing out of it, your cornerback should be able to handle the wide receivers.
I think they need a better cover safety.
Yeah, I think they need better cover corners beyond the two starters. I think Bodden and McCourty are going to be fine. We need to find out if Arrington, Butler, Wilhite can do the job as extra defensive backs. Last year, they didn't.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I think if you can upgrade your nickel dime corners, you do that as well.
Yeah, well, that's where I think that you need the upgrade. I don't think you can ask Patrick Chung like he did for long periods of time last year to say, okay, it's third and ten, Chung, you got the guy in the slot. I don't think you can ask a safety to do that consistently and get away with it. I don't think there are too many guys that can do that. Safeties that are good in coverage are guys that play good center field, like Ed Reed, for example.
Right.
There's not too many guys that can line up on a real wide receiver, you know, a legitimate NFL number three wide receiver, and match up favorably with him. There aren't a lot of safeties that do that.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Greg from the billing department's on the line. Hey, Greg, thanks for lunch.
No problem, guys. No problem. How are we doing today?
We're doing great now that we have our sustenance.
He's going to bust you for an unpaid invoice, Freddie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, trust me, if I could bill it to the company, you guys would get lunch on us every day.
That'd be awesome. So would do it too.
So
again, thank you very much. That we really do appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. I love listening to you guys every day. It's fantastic. It helps me get through my day. So at least I can do is help you get through yours. You know.
Yep. Well, this show helps us get us through our day too. Believe it. Believe it or not.
It does. We really look forward to it every day.
Well, you're not the only one. So.
All right.
I just wanted to touch up really quick about the whole Merriweather thing and why he gets so much crap for what he does. I love Chung, and I think he's a great player. I think he's a great safety. He's a horrible cover person, and I'm terrified when he covers anybody, but at least when he's covering somebody and somebody catches the ball, he's going to make a tackle, and you're not worried about him taking out three of our players.
Yeah, I agree with that. Chung does struggle in coverage. I do agree with you on that, but he is a good tackler. You're right.
Exactly. I'm not afraid of somebody getting by him, like I am with Merriweather. Or Merriweather's just not as smart of a player as everyone thought he would be, especially with the first round pick that we used on him. You know.
There's no doubt about that. He was a disappointment for where he was picked. Absolutely. Coming from Miami, a lot of people had high hopes for him. I can't argue with that.
But he was taken about, six spots ahead of Chung. This is my point. Like, it's not about where he got drafted. It's about how he plays.
No, he's not anywhere near what a Pro Bowl safety should be in my mind.
And that's what everyone expected him to come in and be. Like,
right.
The replacement for Rodney. When Rodney left, he would be that solid guy to stay there and take over for him. But it's just been too inconsistent. He's been, and I'm surprised that Bill kept him for so long, because usually Bill says, you know, 2 or 3 years in, if you're not making the progress that you should be, then bye. And I just don't see him making any progress.
Well, you know, again, I'd love to be able to get an honest answer from, you know, whether it's Bill or the coaches, and, you know, how much of what we're seeing is all Merriweather's fault, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't know the answer to that. And, you know, you say that he would give a guy in the first and second round, we've seen a lot of evidence in the contrary of the Patriots sticking with guys despite what we've seen, or, you know, guys who've been hurt and just, you know, can't stay on the field.
Well, I think it makes it difficult to pull the plug real quick if it's a really high draft pick. But, you know, listen, I we can go around in circles on this all day. I think if the guy wasn't the one making more mistakes, I don't think he would be as criticized as he is.
Agreed.
I think he makes more mistakes than the other safeties, and that's why 100%. He gets more criticism than the other safeties.
Absolutely. That would be exactly right.
That's how I look at it. Is he the worst player? No, he's not a terrible player. He's an NFL player. So that's where I think that we have some separation. I think you criticize the guy and you make it sound like we don't think he even belongs in the league. No, he has ability. I just don't think he's a very consistent player. That's all.
And I don't think he's smart enough to be on with that system. I don't think he can recognize the offenses and make his adjustments that he needs to make to be able to run on the defense that the Patriots run.
Let me ask both of you. Who would you rather have? Brandon Merriweather or Roy Williams?
Brandon Merriweather.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good, because now you're consistent, because Roy Williams got killed in Dallas. I mean, absolutely killed in Dallas.
He was bust too.
You know, but outside of Dallas, some people thought, oh, he's not so bad. He's an okay safety. But in Dallas, he got killed.
Roy Williams, after a promising start to his career, began to make crippling mistakes that cost his team games. I don't think Merriweather does that.
Okay.
I don't think so either. I don't think he's that bad to lose a game for you, but I just don't think he's Chung made plays this year to help the Patriots win. I mean, look at the Dolphins. I mean, granted it was special teams, but they put him on special teams because he can do something. Merriweather plays safety, and strictly safety, because there's really nothing else he can do, because they just don't have him out there for anything else, because I'm guessing it's because of his production and what he doesn't do.
Oh, all right.
That's how I feel.
With a full mouth. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, guys. Have a good one, and one of these days I'll get you lunch again.
Oh, hey, you've done your duty. Thank you so much, Greg, from the Billing
Department. No problem, guys. Tell Andy and Eric I said hello over in the Combine, and go Pats, baby.
All right. Greg from the Billing Department with lunch and a phone call. Good job by Greg. PFW in progress. Name of the show? Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Phone lines have been very busy today. Gary writes in, listening to Tuesday's show, everyone seems stuck on using a first or second round pick on a running back. Before we look at that, shouldn't we see what's coming back next year? I think Morris and or Taylor will be gone, but what about Falk? Has there been any word on how he's progressing, and will he be able to play next year? I know Falk is only going to be a short timer, but with so many questions with the CBA and free agency, I think they may take a wait and see attitude on the running back position. If the CBA doesn't get done by the draft, I think they may go with a high pick for a running back at the time, as the time period for getting deals done with free agents will be extremely limited. Also at safety, Eugene Wilson is now a free agent. Do you see the Pats bringing him in for a workout, seeing that Merriweather has fallen on the depth chart? No way, Eugene Wilson.
Yeah, I think that, I would be surprised. I think that Wilson has had a nice little run for himself. I think he's toward the end of the line here. He was a guy that I think frustrated the coaches with his work habits off the field. And I don't see that being a mix. But in terms of running back, I think Kevin Faulk is going to play next year if he chooses to. Now, if it's not in New England, maybe he decides to retire.
Yeah, Faulk actually was heard from recently saying that if there's a lockout and he can't work out and rehab here, he'll go down to LSU.
He's just going to go back home. Yeah, he's going to go to LSU and do his – see, that's one of the things that I talked about yesterday with Ron Brace. And he appeared, Freddie, at a charity event in Boston. Well, not really a charity event. It was to benefit the children, the inner-city school kids, encouraging them to stay active during the summer, finding activities, jobs. It's more of a workshop kind of thing. And Ron Brace appeared there to sort of offer a message about the importance of doing those kinds of things and preparing for other aspects, you know, whether you're an athlete and you want to stay busy during the summer and prepare for something, you know, for your next season, the next football season and stuff, just not sitting around all day watching TV, get out and do stuff. And Ron Brace was very good. I thought he was, he presented himself and the organization very well at the event. But of more interest to our conversation here, he had mentioned that he was a little concerned. He's coming off a elbow surgery. He tore a muscle right by his elbow. He wasn't sure. He didn't say if it was a tricep or what exactly it was. But he had mentioned that if indeed the lockout happens, he will not be able to continue his rehab here at the facility. And that's something he's a little concerned about, because you're dealing with your trainers and your doctors and all those kinds of things, the team doctors and trainers, I should say. And if the lockout hits, that's included. You can't be here. You can't have any contact with the players, and it's something that Faulk also mentioned in that piece today in the Boston Herald, and it's something that's sort of, and Kevin said it's something that no one's talking about, and I agree with him. And that's, when Brace said it to me yesterday, I kind of took a step back. I was like, you know, I never really thought of that. You know, Tom Brady, you know, is he going to be able to do any of his work with the teams? Because he had surgery, you know, on his foot, obviously.
Yep.
Is he able to do any work with the teams? Doctors and stuff after March 3rd, and that's going to be one of those seemingly meaningless things of the lockout, but I think it could be important, you know, depending on how these guys treat it.
There's so many things like that don't get discussed that really are all, you know, trickle-down effects of what's going on. Rick from the Netherlands says that Chung made the biggest mistake in the playoffs, and he isn't in the line of fire. Anyway, I agree more games put him out there more than players with less snaps, and honestly, every team has a scapegoat. So, talking about Merriweather.
Yeah, I don't think that Merriweather would have been crucified for a mistake like that. That's not the kind of mistake I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking a bad angle and cover. Anybody can make a physical mistake. I don't make fun of Brandon Merriweather because he dropped an interception in the Super Bowl. You know, like Asante Samuel did. I'm not that's anybody can. You
that's
know,
a physical thing as opposed
Patrick
to
Chung
a mental
Patrick Chung made a mistake.
Thing,
yeah. You know, it may have been a mental mistake, too, if he called it. We don't know.
Right.
But he dropped the snap. That's what ultimately caused that play to not work. That's not what I'm talking about with Merriweather. I'm not talking about dropping an interception.
Look, I know. I know
that ends up costing you a game. I'm talking about taking poor angles and coverage, not being where he's supposed to be, and all the other things that go with it. I don't know, you know, Greg, I think, was talking about how he doesn't think he's smart enough to play in the system. I have no idea. I don't know what kind of football aptitude the guy has. Maybe he just doesn't want to do it the Patriots way. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is, but it doesn't seem to me that it works very well.
Let's see. Zach from Syracuse writes in, Tuesday's show had me crying with laughter at Fred's French accent. Hilarious.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
A few things on my mind I wanted to get out there. I really want to see Merriweather go. Watching some video clips of this season, I saw him just running alongside the ball carrier, not trying to make a hit, not even running hard. He's a complete liability. I read somewhere that Bodden may switch to that free safety spot. I don't agree. Besides, he has the size for it. I think Sanders, Chung, McGowan, Brown, and maybe Page, if we resign him, would have better production. I agree with Paul. I don't see why we should draft a running back, especially the banged-up Ingram. The undrafted rookie running backs had more production than the drafted guys last year. I'd like to see us trade up and get the Beast Quinney
If not, whatever the best pass rusher available is at 17, then a guard at 28. Then I suspect Justin Houston and 33, if he's still around. I wouldn't mind seeing a running back taken past the third round, but not in the first. Thanks, guys, and keep us going this offseason.
Yeah, because we have all the picks, I wouldn't mind seeing a running back with one of those picks. I don't want to use it on the first round, but you know, I agree with the emailer, Zach. I think that you have the first, maybe a third round pick or something like that. You have so many picks, I think you can afford to use one.
Right.
I do want a better running back. I think they need to address that position. Just I'm not enamored with most of the guys that come out every year. I mean, there's an Adrian Peterson, and sure, I'd love to have a guy like that, or a Chris Johnson that's a special talent, game-changing type player. I would love to have a guy like that, but I don't have to have it.
Let's see, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Don from California is on the line. Hey, Don.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Don.
I just got a question. As far as Arrington and Butler, I think their coverage was pretty sucky, too. So do you see the Pats maybe second round getting that kid out of Colorado, the cornerback?
There's an interesting crop of corners in this draft, and he's one of them. I think name's escaping me there, but there's some
like
bigger.
Jimmy Smith or something like that.
Yeah, Jimmy Williams maybe, I forget. But there are some bigger guys that the 40 times at this combine are going to be very important to. I think don't forget that you're getting Bodden back, so neither Butler nor Arrington is likely to start. Now, I hadn't heard that about the possibility of moving Lee Bodden to safety. I hadn't heard that. Maybe they liked Arrington enough that, I can't imagine they did. I thought he struggled, in his role.
He struggled like all year to me as far as coverage.
Yeah, I agree with you, Don. I think that he plays hard. I think he gives you an effort, but I don't think he was great last year. I didn't think that he was really noticeably better than Butler, to be honest with you. The difference there might be Fred's theory of you took Butler in the second round and you got Arrington as an undrafted guy, off the scrap heap. So maybe, Arrington was considered to have done a lot better just based on expectations. Fred's theory might be right on that one.
Is there any chances that one of them guys will get cut this year?
I think so. I think Arrington and or Merriweather could get cut.
I don't think Arrington can get cut.
Really?
No.
Depending on who they bring in.
He started like the last 14
games. I know, but at
some
point it's a numbers game, and if Bodden comes back.
Well, let's see, but here's the thing.
You think Merriweather will get cut before Arrington?
No, I don't think they'll cut Merriweather. I think they'll trade him if he's not on the team. Otherwise, he'll be on the team. I think with Arrington, if you're going to start letting go of defensive backs, it would only stand to reason that guys like Butler and Wilhite go before him because Arrington was playing over them. I don't see why they would just cut Arrington.
Got hurt, right?
But he wasn't playing. He played the first, 9-10 games, and he wasn't playing over Arrington.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, maybe they think Arrington's better in special teams.
Last question for you. Last question
for playing. They were both dressed. I'm talking about starting on defense. Arrington took the starting job in week two and never let it go.
I know, but I'm just saying when it comes time to think, evaluate your roster, who goes, who stays, Arrington might have a little bit more that he does for the team than a Wilhite. I don't know.
But I'm just saying he does more on defense. He starts.
No, I know.
Wilhite doesn't.
Yeah.
I even think Wilhite did better in coverage when he used to cover the slot receivers better than Arrington did. But when he got hurt, I think that hurt us a lot too because then that left Chung to cover some of the wide receivers well. Chung can't cover that well.
Yeah, I think that they had a problem with depth at corner, down the stretch. And, losing Bodden and then losing Wilhite, they had already let Wheatley go. So, they had a little bit of a depth problem there at corner. And you're right, it forced guys like Chung probably to do a little bit too much in coverage, and I think he struggled. And, maybe that's something they do have to address. But I think your original point, Don, is a good one with the cornerbacks because – and I'm reading a lot of the analysis about this, Freddie, and they're talking about how important it's going to be for some 40 times for these guys because there's some bigger guys who they're going to look for straight line speed just to see can these guys hold up or are they going to have to be, even the kid Patrick Peterson from LSU that I love, He's considered a top 10 pick. Some places top five. A lot of people say he's a cornerback slash safety. You know, that's if right. that's the best, and you're thinking about, you know, the kid from Nebraska, Prince Akuamara. Those are the guys that are highest on the board. The kid from Colorado that Don mentioned is up there as well. Certainly top five cornerback. If they can't run at that elite level, then you're going to have to move these guys to safety. You wonder how that right. fans plays out. But it also might give you an opportunity to pick up a guy who has talent.
Yep.
Maybe a little bit lower. If a guy runs a 4.5 or a 4.6, you know, a 4.55 or something, 4.6, you know, maybe you look at it and say, well, geez, that guy just got knocked out of the first round.
Are you guys done talking? Can I break in here?
Oh, there he is.
Hey!
Hey, there he is.
Andy Hart.
Good Lord.
What is it?
What have you guys been doing?
We didn't know you. Well, we've had a million phone calls.
At Jumbo
yes,
Hart.
I can tell.
At
yeah,
Jumbo
but we didn't know we didn't know you were on the phone because our illustrious producer didn't tell us.
The phone's blowing up.
Uh-oh, you're going to have to apologize to your dad for that. That was
no, I just put him on. I told him I was just going to put him on and interrupt you.
All right, so now that he's
what do we got,
so
Andy?
It felt like he was actually here.
Let's let him talk.
Andy, you're at the combine. What's going on out there?
Well, I got to tell you, I was just, Gabe Carini, the tackle out of Wisconsin, listened to him talk, and he is sort of the Eric Berry of this year's class ball. One of the cockier people I've ever talked with.
a tackle from Wisconsin is cocky?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the first thing that drew me to him was obviously he's been mentioned as a potential Patriot at 28 or whatever, and, you know, this lack of depth at tackle right now. But he also looks a little bit like Sebastian Vollmer, which I thought was interesting. And clearly the Patriots have already talked to him. It was a funny little exchange. He was asked which teams he's talked to, and he said pretty much all of them. So somebody said the Ravens, and he said yes. So Tom Carnes said the Patriots, and he said, I can't comment on the Patriots. So clearly, they've not only talked to him, but gotten the message across to not
right,
tell anybody.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been kind of a slow start, actually, the first day of the combine. A lot of coaches, GM types this morning, but not a lot of players. The offensive linemen are now starting to trickle in, including some of the names like Dreamy. But that's what I took from him. He said flat out, I'm the best tackle in the draft. I just have to act like it and play like it.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy. I agree with Andy. He's definitely a guy in the Patriots' radar.
Yeah, Wisconsin comes out with some good linemen, but was he left or right tackle over there? Was he
left?
He was a left tackle?
He's a left. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, he says he can play both. You know how it is. They all say they can play everything at this point.
But I would definitely, and I know you agree with this, Andy, you're looking for left tackles in college. You don't want to have the guy, well, he only played the right because ..
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah. There's a kid this year at USC who was mostly a right tackle there, Smith, who people think can bulk up.
Tryon, is that his name? Is that the guy with the funny name?
Yeah, he's an underclass. Tryon Smith. Surprise, underclass entry. But yeah, you're right. For the most part, you know, the best tackle is their left tackle in college, and there's a reason for that. But, you know, some funny, both the Harbaugh brothers were here. I enjoyed that this morning as John did his press conference. Jim watched from a table and at one point stood up, and they kind of interacted back and forth. And and then later when Jim was at the podium, John was watching from the same table. And they clearly, they are clearly really, really tight and very similar, you can see, in their style. I think I blogged about it or whatever, but I can see why guys play for those guys. I mean, just their personality is engaging, it's contagious, and, you know, they're both very positive guys and open guys, and I see why they've had some success.
Okay. Is Eric back from his swim yet?
No, I don't think he got a swim, and he complains about the pool at this hotel. He was talking about it with offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia for a while in the airport, though. Those two are old swimming buddies from the past.
Right.
We had a plane ride down with some of the Patriots personnel. I somehow got railroaded, as seemingly every other person who worked for the Patriots had a free seat next to them, and I had an 80-year-old grandmother who had to tell me about every degree that any of her sons and grandchildren have accumulated over the years. But
I'm surprised you didn't tweet about it.
Yeah, Paul doesn't like your tweets.
True, Paul.
Well, the one Fred, about the MILFs, I was kind of shaking my head at that one.
Fred's wondering about you. I don't know about you, Hendry.
If it's real news, it goes on the PFW blog or Patriots.com, or Real Patriots will tweet about it. Sometimes I dabble in the entertainment factor. That is,
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
Well, you've got a lot of followers already. I think, what are you, over 200 now?
He is. I just looked.
I don't know. I haven't.
You are. You're like in the 230s, I think.
Yeah, that's a quick rise.
Well, that's a big thing, because last time I checked, I only had like 100 and 30 or something last week or whatever.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're on an upward.
You're trending up.
You're trending
Andy.
Up.
Quick.
Everybody's doing it, so I figured I had to join in.
Yeah, you do.
A quick non sequitur here. The cornerback from Colorado, the bigger guy. What's his name? Williams.
No idea. I don't know.
Well,
what do we have?
Even a bigger question, because we just got off into a Brandon Merriweather argument.
Oh, we're not going to go into this.
No. But and also, what do you think the chances are the Patriots, with one of their first round picks, choose either a cornerback or a safety?
I would say slim.
Slim.
I mean, if an elite player falls into their lap, I mean, if Peterson dropped or the Prince kid out of Nebraska, one of the truly elite guys dropped, maybe. I just think they have too many other pressing needs. I mean, this is a team that I think...
Isn't that what we said last year?
What? Excuse me now?
Didn't we say the same thing last year?
To some degree. I mean, I think the needs are bigger this year at some spots, personally. I mean, if Matt Light leaves, I think you need a tackle. I don't think you can just plug in Mark Lavoie or...
Well,
or
that's a good point. And I did say that earlier. I think if, depending on Light and Mankins, if something happens there, all of a sudden, offensive line becomes a top priority. You can't.
And either way, yeah. I mean, even if you bring back one or both of those guys, there's still a severe lack of depth there to me. You know, obviously the Kazier injury, I don't think you just assume a guy coming back from back surgery is going to be fine. So you lose that depth factor, and I think it's questionable whether Light will be back. Mankins, obviously, they have some control over him. But in terms of that position, I think you need a tackle in the draft. I think you might need a guard, although I think you can get by a little bit there with the depth they have. But then on the other side of the ball, I think this, everybody's raving about the pass rushers and the edge guys and the 3-4 tweeners. Patriots have to get one of those. They have to target whoever the best guy is and go get him. I just don't think you can, you know, mess around with, oh, it'd be nice to have a third corner. It'd be nice to have a third safety. I mean, to me, there's too many needs you have to have. I would put wide receiver pretty close in there as well.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you because I think the third down problems are much less coverage related as they are pass rush related.
Right.
And I know that when Belichick doesn't do, you know, he took a cornerback last year, and then people, I think, mistakenly say, well, Bill obviously thought that was a bigger need than pass rush. I don't think that's what he thought. I think he thought McCourty was a better player than whoever was on the board.
You're right, Paul. There's no doubt about that.
I think if Bill had been drafting at number 10 last year, the selection might have been Devin McCourty. I think he fell in love with Devin McCourty for everything we heard about the film breakdown sessions and the skills and being pro-ready and everything he brings to the table. I think there's a good chance Devin McCourty would have been the Patriots pick at some point in the first round. He fell in love with him. And he was right, obviously. I mean, he had a great rookie season. So, you know, that basically, you know this, Paul, I've been preaching that is everybody says that there's going to be outside linebackers available. I want Bill to use all his scouting acumen, find the right guy, and go get him. And if that has to be traded up, I mean, obviously, Chan Gailey today said phone lines are open now, basically, on the number 3 pick. So
yeah, I read that off your blog post this morning. Yeah, that was interesting. You know, I mean, it's number 3. Patriots can get to number 3.
Yeah.
Patriots have the ammunition to get anywhere they want.
Perfect for the Bills, because the Bills obviously are a team that, you know, they'd love to add 2 or 3 players in the top 30 rather than just, you know, put the one there. So that, you know, take their own pick early in the second round, and if you can get 2 first rounders out of the Patriots, now your Bills can, I mean, you can turn over your roster pretty fast if you have 3 picks in the top 30.
Now, I know you have a lot to do today, and I want you to go over, like, what's on your and Eric's agenda so people know what to look forward to on Patriots.com today. But before you leave, have you figured out the discrepancy between Pro Football Weekly and Mike Mayock, where PFW, Pro Football Weekly, has Quinn going in the second round and Mayock possibly, depending on his workout, first overall pick? Have you figured out why they're so, you know,
different,
disparate?
I have not, and you know, as I kind of wrote, you have to think PFW knows something. You have to think, you know, Sergio Kindle would be the example last year. Everybody thought he was a top 10 prospect. Then all of a sudden, there were stories about the knee injury, and obviously, he had some other issues later. But and he fell. So I have to think maybe they have somebody telling them something about Quinn. We know he has the history with the tumor when he was in high school that was removed, but not all of it was removed. I don't know if that could be an issue medically. I just too many people say that he is too good an athlete, too good a prospect, for no reason for him to just drop into the second round. But I think they must have some sort of information. That's at least the benefit of the doubt that I'm giving them, because everybody else seems to think, hey, you know, once he's done here, the guy could be a top five pick.
Yeah, I got all excited for you when I saw Mayock's declaration that after watching him in 08 and 09, watching him on film, and then he predicts once everybody sees his workout, he could be the number one overall pick.
Now, did you get excited or did you get, oh, crap, we're going to have to hear Andy talk about how he was right again?
Probably a little bit of both. I'm curious, Big Head, what's the overall, I don't know, what's the tenor there? Is there a lot of, does the CBA situation sort of just kind of like hanging over everybody right now? Or is it the same
bit,
old?
The phrase whistling past the graveyard, all the coaches, they're not allowed to talk about it. You know, we knew that coming in. But they all seem to just be going with, you know, business as usual, and the questions about whether it's going to change their plan if they don't have free agency, if the draft comes first. Oh, no, we're going to do things. It's almost like they're just going to ignore it and pretend it's not going to happen until it happens.
Really? What else can they do?
I'm just wondering if it feels like every other year in Indy, or if there's a definite difference, you know, a definite vibe that, you know, this is sort of hanging over everybody's head.
No, I would say it's similar. Part of that is, you know, I think some of the guys we talked to today, the new guys, you know, they're just excited. You know, it's John Fox and Hugh Jackson and Harbaugh in San Francisco, they're just, even if there may be a little speed bump on the ahead of them on the road here, they're excited to be just, you know, with a new team and starting that process of trying to turn over a roster. So I think they're all approaching it as they would normally. Now, I think those are the guys that are in the biggest amount of trouble, personally, if there is a lockout, because, you know, Bill Belichick knows most of his personnel, and a lot of these coaches know most of their personnel, but
right. You
know, Jim Harbaugh was at Stanford last year. He doesn't know the 49ers personnel and the ins and outs, and if he doesn't get to meet with his team until June, July, August, whatever, for the first time, he's at a severe disadvantage. He'll be playing catch-up with a team that's already at a disadvantage because they're not that good. But I think those guys could be hurt the most.
Now, what'd you think of John Fox declaring Kyle Orton as his starter already?
Yeah, he kind of did.
That's kind of funny.
He phrased it as,
he's under contract.
Orton's our starter.
Yeah, he's under contract.
Wasn't a real strong recommendation.
Yeah, but evidently, sort of not necessarily related to that is the feeling, I guess, in Denver is that Tebow is not the guy.
Right. Yes, I definitely got that vibe when I forgot how he phrased it exactly, but he said, you know, and we got the young guy who was a high pick and played a little last year, and, you know,
the young guy who was a high pick.
He is very funny in that he emptied his cliche notebook. I don't know if you guys happen to see anything from him, but he started talking about Elway. And he said, you know, he's burning the midnight oil, and it's not rocket science, and he's not trying to cure cancer at this point. And he just emptied the cliche notebook for. That's what he does. He's a smiling Bill Belichick in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys are. That's the one thing I've noticed is a lot of these guys have mastered the saying nothing, but with a smile and without getting kind of the Belichick reputation of being so sour.
Now, do we have any opportunities? I know that Belichick is not there. But do we have any opportunities? Well, I'm not going to speak anyway. I'm sure he's going to be at that meeting.
My understanding was that he will be here in Indy today.
Yeah.
And that there's a possibility, I won't promise it, but from some people I've talked to, the possibility that we could get what we got last year, I believe, with Nick Caserio meeting with some of the beat writers. I don't think he'll go to a podium.
Oh, okay.
To do something for the cameras, but generally we get him kind of off in the hallway somewhere with all the Herald the Globe types, and PFW will obviously be there if that happens.
I
haven't been promised anything else.
Well, tell Eric, when you post the story of your interview with Nick Caserio, I won't then link to the Boston Globe's version and put it on the blog.
Uh-oh,
there's a shot.
Got his undies in a bunch.
There's a shot.
I already yelled at Eric.
Hey, he was just trying to do his job.
I know. I wasn't giving him a hard time.
Why isn't Eric calling in?
One person can call in.
I think we requested the guy we wanted to call in.
That's what I was getting at.
I hope Eric's not listening.
I hope
he
Eric's
did a one-on-one with the only long snapper here.
Eric's with a long snapper?
Well done, Andy.
I do my best, even from afar.
I had all these people comment when I posted, you know, Andy or Eric might check in with us in the show today. They said, make sure it's Andy. I had all these people posting
wow.
on Facebook.
Oh, poor Eric.
Well, he's waiting to go through some linebacker drills with Cam Jordan.
Right now, Eric. Fred doesn't get that.
Eric doesn't know who I'm talking about or what I'm talking about.
Eric's in the pool with his St. Mark's Speedo on. In his
Eric, swimming, synchronized swimming, perhaps.
He had a tough start to the combine. I don't know if you saw his opening blog entry on the
yeah,
web,
he screwed up.
What happened?
Up to his usual standards.
What did he do?
He referred people to the blog instead of Patriots.com.
No, I mean the one before that.
Oh, what else did he do?
He tried to write a little "We're on the ground" in indie blog entry, and it just wasn't up to his normal feature-esque standards. And you know, he took a photo that he decided not to use, and I don't know. He just seemed a little cranky on the first night we got here.
Wow!
Oh boy!
Which is tough because I can't wait to see what he's going to be like on Sunday if he's cranky on Wednesday.
Well, especially with you, you'll be out of gas by tomorrow.
Now
I'm never out of gas.
Now, when the hotel does the turn down service and they leave the little candy on the bed, I know you guys are sleeping in one king bed. Who gets the candy?
Eric gets the candy. He's a candy guy.
All right.
So
no, we
give
actually
us,
have good accommodations, as always. The Patriots do a fine job setting us up for it. Fine job. We have new credentials this year, too, you know.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, we have team credentials. We're allowed to go places where other people can't.
And speaking of that, I was talking to Matt Smith of Kraft Sports Production, and Patriots.com will have some unique and exclusive video from the Combine. So people can look forward to that.
I would urge people to keep an eye out for that, because a couple different areas they're going to be shooting should be very cool for Patriots fans to see.
Yep.
I think I actually have access to those areas, but I don't think I'm going to go to them.
Why not?
Because I'd be afraid of who I'd run into when I got there and what he would ask me to do, which would be turn in my badge.
But if you have access, then you're allowed to do it.
Just because the league tells me I can go to a certain position doesn't mean Bill Belichick allows me to go there.
That's all right. You know, you got me backing you up. Don't worry about that.
So you got that going for you.
I used to think that. Until I told you, Fred, you told me I could punch him in the face, and you said, I did?
Well, come on, that was a little hyperbole. All right, so what do we have to look forward to today and tomorrow? And really, this is the last time we'll talk to you on the radio.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever? I don't get to come back next week?
Yeah, we'll see you at the summit.
We will have positional updates every day. Today, we're actually breaking up the offensive line into guards and tackles because we're of the belief the Patriots could very well draft both, maybe relatively high at both positions. So breakdown of all the tackle prospects will be coming from me. Eric will have the guard. We'll have an opening day notebook, which will have a lot of stuff from the various coaches and GMs and some of the other position players that are available today. There's some tight ends coming through and some specialists, long snappers, kickers, punters. And then we'll continue with a similar setup Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Where there'll be, you know, two positional breakdowns each day, as well as a notebook with everything else there is to talk about. I think tomorrow, I believe, the quarterback will be coming through the media room, and it already sounds like Cam Newton is going to be the talk of the combine. A lot of Cam Newton questions already with some of the coaches. So we'll have some of the Cam Newton stuff and everything else there is to get out of Indy.
I'm not sure
Patriots-wise it'll be as quite as exciting as it has been in past years because of, I don't know, I think the Patriots are relatively quiet right now. You know, they've kind of franchised Logan Mankins, and they don't have a lot of league-wide business, and you don't have, you know, Josh McDaniels and those types taking over in other cities. So in terms of those league notes, they're a little bit scarcer these days down here.
Well, don't forget to work with Bilo and Patriots Today. He needs to, you know, you guys should get on camera with them for the Patriots Today show.
Oh, that reminds me, Fred.
Yeah.
One other note out of the Gabe Carini press conference.
Yeah.
You will be very, very interested. He's Jewish.
Oh. With a name like Perini?
It's Carini. But his first name is Gabe. Isn't that a traditional Jewish name?
I don't know.
Gabriel. I'll ask Landon Cohen. Is that his name? Brandon Cohen?
Yeah.
He actually answered some questions last year. He worked in order to get around, you know, having to play on some of the Jewish holidays. He utilized an Israeli calendar, so he would begin his fasting earlier, worked off Israeli time, and then end it earlier, and then take an IV and quickly get out to play. But he said he's looked ahead for the next 15 years, and the Jewish calendar shouldn't prevent him from playing on Sundays for that long.
There you go. That's good. All right.
So,
excellent.
But yeah, lots of news and notes. Check the DFW blog. Check the Patriots.com this evening, probably around 6 or 7 o'clock. Those major updates will go up on all the positions in the notebooks. And then follow us, I guess it's at PFW Eric and Jumbo Hart on Twitter.
Right. Okay, Andy.
Thanks for Fred, that was
harsh.
You've ever said to me.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it, and good job, and keep it up.
Excellent combine update.
Thanks for finally getting off the phone line.
Well, we can't help it.
Well, we're a popular show without you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could have multiple phone lines or a phone line just for guests.
By the way,
who's the guy? Is it Brooklyn Eric?
Oh, says you're a prick.
Yeah.
Who's that? The Brooklyn Matt's cousin or something?
Yeah, maybe. Jimmy Smith is the guy from Colorado.
Okay.
They grow a lot of douches in Brooklyn, huh?
Wow.
Wow. All right. Hang up. See you later. That was Andy Hart from Indianapolis. We'll give you all time to digest what Andy gave us, and we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. We just heard from Andy Hart over at the Combine in Indianapolis. Some good stuff. And you definitely want to keep logged on to Patriots.com for everything that's coming out of there. Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Brooklyn Eric, I'm right next to you in Greenpoint, Williamsburg's sister neighborhood. Hipster central for sure. The area is full of musicians and artists. One of the reasons we all feel Andy Hart is an insufferable idiot. Hey, ever see me on Bedford Ave? I'm the guy with long hair who walks around in a Brady jersey. OK,
Okay, so we have a little Brooklyn dialogue going on here.
So Brooklyn Matt has long hair.
I thought that was Facebook was for. But anyway, that's okay. They can use our show to get together. Let's see. And TG and NJ wants to know if Kevin is PFW in Progress's Brandon Merriweather.
No. He's more along the lines of James Sanders. Just steady, does his job.
Okay.
Always where he's supposed to be.
Thank you, Paul.
How was that, Mr. Collins? Is that good?
Should have him call in.
John in South Carolina says, maybe it's just perception or selective memory, but even when Butler was getting on the field as a sub, it seemed like he either gave up plays or got called for pass interference.
He did.
Is
You're
Butler
right.
good enough to earn a spot? If Butler is not good enough, does that leave us desperate in our secondary? By the way, I'm renewing my subscription today. Thank you.
No. Definitely. Thank you for that. But no, it doesn't leave you desperate. It leaves you looking for more depth pieces. Don't forget, you're getting Bodden back with McCourty. So you're looking for depth. If Butler is not one of those depth pieces, you know, you need to find someone to go with Arrington. I'm assuming Arrington can be, you know, a nickel guy, you know, a guy in the sub packages. He started last year. If Bodden is better than him, I'm assuming Arrington can fill a role in nickel packages. So now you need to have Will Hyde or Butler sort of supplement that.
Right.
So that doesn't, to me, create a situation where you have any desperation.
Enreal writes in. Enreal's a first-time emailer from Berrien Springs, Mississippi. M-I, or would that be Michigan?
Michigan is M-I.
M-I?
Yes. M-S would be,
right.
I believe, Mississippi.
What's up, Fred, Paul, and Kevin? How are you guys doing without Andy and Eric? Anyway, who cares? Carolina Panthers did not use the franchise tag on D'Angelo Williams.
Correct.
Would you like Williams on the Pats? Why or why not? And yes, I know Williams will cost a pretty penny, probably a five-year contract, lots of guarantees. Just want to get your opinion. I also want to know Kevin's, too. Let him chime in for a few. That's Enreal from Berrien Springs, Michigan.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I have no idea what you just said, Fred.
The floor is yours.
I have no clue what you just said.
Do you like D'Angelo Williams on the Patriots?
Yeah, sure. I'd love him. Don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's realistic.
By the way, here's another interesting element of all of this uncertainty is the reason that Carolina did not tender him is they plan on giving him a restricted free agent tender because he will be a restricted free agent based on the 2010 rules. And that's what's going to unfold here. It's going to create another big fight between the union and the owners because the owners are clearly operating under the old rules, whereas the players are operating under the premise that there are no rules because we have no CBA. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds.
Brooklyn Matt also writes and he says, "Hey, Fred, next year give Eric a plane ticket to the Combine and slip Andy a ticket to Columbine. He won't notice and he'll get all mad when he realizes he's landed in Colorado." And Kevin, gee, you brought a pickup truck. Way to shed your boring public image. Not. And plus, whenever you chime in from behind the glass, it sounds like Lurch is back there.
You rang.
Wow.
It's different audio quality. I noticed that when I was listening.
Well, tell your father that wasn't Paul. That was Brooklyn Matt.
All right. So he can. That is always, it always seems to be an issue no matter who's back here because the audio quality on this mic is different.
You just have that deep baritone, too. You know, you have the radio pipes, Kevin.
You think so?
Well, you have a deep voice, yeah.
I never heard anybody say that.
You don't think he has a deep voice?
He does have a deep voice, but he's like, you think so? How about another AK-47?
Oh, yeah, my bad. That one's on me, Freddie.
No.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe.
Well, if Andy would do it, I mean.
I know that you're in Doc's, you know, responsibilities have changed a little bit for 2011. Maybe there's time for AK-47.
They're hopefully going to change, but we still have to go through quite a process to get to the point where they actually are changed.
Well, yeah.
Because we have to pass the
torch. Well, what we have to do is we have to get the union and the owners to meet.
Yes.
And once we get them to agree on the CBA, then
your
job description can be finalized. Right, Freddie?
Right.
That's one of the major stumbling blocks I heard was Doc and Kevin's job responsibilities was one of the big. That's why they're
true.
Not going to meet again until Tuesday. Right.
Yeah, it's all over Twitter, actually, you know, these negotiations.
Twitter's a buzz.
Jerry
a buzz.
Richardson wants you both fired, though. That's the problem.
Jerry Richardson wants to know, do you know anything about Radio Sun?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott in Tucson, I'd like to make a future show suggestion. I would love to hear a listener's mock draft hosted by Andy and Paul, I mean Eric, Callers can call in and submit one pick per team for the first 33 picks. Andy and Paul, Eric, damn, I keep forgetting them, can provide expert analysis on certain picks. I think we talked about that before, to have a listener mock draft on
the
show.
We have discussed it. I don't know if we've discussed it on the air, but we have. Not exactly sure what the best format would be.
What the logistics would be.
Yeah. I mean, do we call people, get everybody lined up? I know we would have a lot of people that would be interested in taking part in that. I know that would be a listener.
That would be great.
The new phone screener would come in handy.
You know what? Let's make it a point.
More calls.
Let's make it a point right now to do that the week before the draft.
Okay. All right. So we'd have to do that on a separate day. Maybe we'll do it on a Wednesday.
Maybe we could have a special show. Special off-season mock draft show.
Well, we'd have to do that. We're not going to do it on PFW in progress time.
We couldn't? No.
We have to talk about the Nut Wizard.
Oh, okay.
And soap with a slot.
But I think that's a really good idea. I mean, we'll have to figure out who gets to pick in which slot and all that stuff, and that would be good.
Maybe we could send something out. We'll take emails, and the first 33 emails we get back will be the ones that get to pick, and we'll take it to 33 because the Patriots pick 33rd.
Yep.
First one in the second round. And then we'll figure out what the best way to take the make the interaction during the show.
And then we can publish that, the results, and see how accurate
we Because
are.
We could do let's just say we had like John in LA is the first pick. He calls in, he makes his pick, then we talk about it, and as we're talking about it, we let John go, and then the next person who has number two, and we'll have it broken up at times.
Yeah.
So we'll say if you call it 1 and you call it 110 and you get, we'll have to do it quickly.
You know,
obviously.
It would be really cool. Do it just like the draft where there's, not 10 minutes, but we could
make it. We're not going 3.5 hours here.
No, but we could do like 2 minutes and give them all each other's phone numbers so they could do their own trades. So you're on, John and LA.
John and LA,
you're on
the clock. Interested in trading with Brooklyn Matt.
You're on the clock. And he's already talked with, John in South Carolina. They've worked out a trade. That would be awesome. So basically each caller is a team.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we would try to do it.
That would be pretty cool.
We could put it together. It wouldn't be easy, but we'd need some help from the listeners, and I think they would be interested in it.
Info from Paul, from Steve, from Toronto.
Steve.
The third-ranked cornerbacks are Brandon Harris from Miami and Jimmy Smith
from
Colorado.
Jimmy Smith was the guy I was trying to think of his name.
And then there's Aaron Williams from Texas.
For some reason, I was saying Jimmy Williams, so I was probably confusing Aaron Williams with Jimmy Smith.
And there's an Aaron Williams, right. Smith has the inside track behind Patrick Peterson, LSU, and Prince Amukamara from Nebraska because of his size, length, and aggression and run support. But Williams is similar in stature, and although Harris will measure 1 to 2 inches shorter than the 2 6-footers, he's likely to be the fastest of the three. He's capable of making plays against the ball carriers on the outside.
Yeah. Also, Harris also got destroyed in the bowl game against Notre Dame. Absolutely destroyed. Michael Floyd.
Steve also says, I agree that Merriweather has to go. Fred, he's in the crosshairs because of the bonehead plays he makes, i.e. bonehead plays being ones where he has been coached or taught the proper way to react in a situation, and he does something else repeatedly. And the coaches do blame him for that. He was officially benched twice and unofficially at least 2 more times that I saw. The list of plays he screws up is long. The C.J. Spiller TD, the head hit, the McCourty tackle, the deep sideline completion. The list goes on and on. Then he gets on E-E-E-I-I-I and says he will not change the way he plays. So,
yeah, so maybe there's an element that it is somewhat due to his personality, too. Maybe that rubs people the wrong way.
Let's see. Fred and Paul, this is from Dagmar. He's still on about Merriweather. I don't know. I'll skip it because he had his time on the.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. I mean, he thinks that Merriweather is better than James
Sanders. Was Dagmar's phone call
while
I was going to get lunch?
Must have been, I think so.
Because I had a post that. From a couple of listeners, this is, was Dagmar underwater while he was on the phone?
Yeah, he had a bad connection.
That was the other part of it that made it difficult, is a lot of the things that he was saying, I didn't really understand. I couldn't understand what he was saying.
He had a bad connection or he was
doing
something.
But he went down statistics with Sanders and Merriweather saying how much better Merriweather is, and that's,
Well, he said they were comparable.
They're not. No. They're comparable only because Bob Sanders is always hurt.
Right.
The numbers are comparable.
Patty writes,
one was a defensive player of the year in the NFL.
Right.
Only like 3 years ago, too.
Patty writes in, during the last game the Patriots played of the season in 2010, why were many of the players in positions that they had never played during the season? This seems to have hurt them in the last game against the Jets. I don't think they should have shifted the players around, though they had a few injured. Shifting offensive players to special teams and other positions is not something that helped them during the playoffs.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I
I'm not sure exactly.
Email back in. Give us some examples, some specifics on that. I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Not saying it's wrong. I'm not sure I understand.
Chris writes in on the Merriweather debate. Realistically, he's a hard-hitting safety. That's what he's there for. He's a poor man's Rodney Harrison. Whether you agree with this or not, he nailed Todd Heap, killed him. No one came into the middle of the field after that. He's a Pro Bowler because of this. Yes, he makes mistakes and has lapses in judgment.
Wait a minute. Stop. Less than a quarter later, Todd Heap himself caught a touchdown pass over the middle. In the playoff game, Braylon Edwards dragged your hard-hitting safety into the end zone from the five-yard line. So let's stop with he discouraged people from going over the middle. That's just pure out-and-out fiction.
Yes, he makes mistakes and has lapses in judgment, but who is his replacement? He's cheaper than the alternatives. Having him traded would be good for the team for value, or if Merriweather would take a pay cut, perhaps it might help too. You guys got to lay off him some. I don't think he likes PFW because you guys really get on him. Why not bash Butler while you're at it, too? He makes more mental mistakes than Merriweather and is definitely more physically gifted. If I could get a better cover safety, I'd take him, but Merriweather is what I believe Belichick sees as serviceable.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for in a first-round pick, serviceable.
Again, you're getting back to the pick, though, Paul.
But he's not serviceable.
All right, so he is or he isn't?
No, he's not even serviceable.
Okay.
He's an average player at best. At best. If that makes him serviceable, okay, he's serviceable. He's not cheap. He was a first-round pick. So that whole line of thinking is wrong as well.
Pierre writes in, hey, Fred, thanks a lot for the French accent on Tuesday, but Paul is right. That was not French.
I don't know what it was, though.
But hey, guys, guess what? You forgot to answer my question. Don't take it personally because you made my day with the accent, but think about my question.
Even if
the pick was late in the first, maybe Pittsburgh, it could still help the Patriots greatly, I think, in getting a new offensive lineman. It would enable the team to trade the 33rd pick for next year.
I don't know what the question was.
We forget what the question was.
Yeah, that's your fault.
Yeah, all right.
Because you lapsed into Pepe Le Pew. I had no idea what you were talking about.
P.S., by the way, I'm an American citizen, just my parents moved from the East Coast to France, so I don't have a French accent.
So Fred, he wouldn't know what one sounded like.
That's right. So how do you
he
know
only lives
don't?
In Paris. Paris.
Stupid. I get my French accent from the Pink Panther, the
from
original
Newark.
One. What? Who was the guy that played the original?
What about Pepe Le Pew, Fred?
Jacques Cousteau.
No, wasn't Pepe Le Pew French?
Not Jacques Cousteau.
No, Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers.
Why did I say Jacques Cousteau?
There was a question as to whether the man or his minky.
He was Inspector.
Inspector Cousteau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I said Jacques Cousteau.
I always think of that skunk, though.
Isn't Peter Sellers.
Pepe Le Pew, that's always.
Well, that's what I just called Fred.
Yeah.
He lapsed into his Pepe Le Pew, and I couldn't understand him. And now I forget the question. I don't even know what the question was. I feel bad. I don't like when we don't answer their questions.
I resign.
Even if we don't agree with them, I don't like when we don't answer
right.
them.
Right. Sometimes we get distracted. Tyler from Georgia. Unfortunately, I'm not getting the chance to hear the show live today, but I am looking forward to the replay this afternoon. Anyway, over the summer, I started collecting Patriots memorabilia. And started to put together a nice collection of autographed pictures and such. I was on the Pro Shop website recently and saw where you could get autograph items from the cheerleaders. This got me thinking about other people who are part of the Patriots organization. It got me thinking about how cool it would be to have an autographed picture of the PFW gang. Is this something guys ever do?
I don't think anybody...
Really? I don't think that's going to be worth a whole lot of money.
I'm not sure that's going to be in high demand.
Yeah. And I know memorabilia isn't always about how much is it worth in, you know, the Beckett's baseball guide, but...
Well, the thing that... It's one of the things that, it's embarrassing. we don't do anything.
You know, look, if ever anyone wants anything autographed, you want to send it to us, we will be happy to autograph and send it back.
We do it. It happens at training camp a lot.
Well, people, not to me, but
people
to you
ask
guys.
Us, Well, we're kind of a big deal. You're not.
Yeah, no one asked me for my autograph.
You're the forgettable member of the staff.
Right. But, you know, we'd be happy to oblige.
It's somewhat embarrassing.
But to have that on sale in the pro shop is a whole different story.
I was going to ask Paul one day if that ever happens.
I was thinking, Paul, should we unionize? You know, there's a lot of talk about unions these days.
Yeah.
Should we start a, you know, a PFW writers union?
You guys go right ahead.
That would be the last day we're ever here. You're not a big union guy?
Not a big union guy.
Let's see. George in New Hampshire. Hey, PFW, isn't it time to put the value back into an edge rusher? Aren't you tired of the defense making mediocre QBs look like top players? Sanchez, Flynn, Colt McCoy, what the hell? Trade 17 and 28, move up to 8, and take Richard Quinn.
Robert.
Oh, there's another guy named Richard?
It's Robert Quinn.
Bobby Quinn?
Quinn.
No, I mean, I'm going to say this until training camp starts. This offseason is all about making that defense better, and it starts with getting the pass rush going.
I agree.
You know, I even think that Bill might have even alluded to it toward the end of the season where we needed to get better in the pass rush. Didn't I hear you say at least one thing along those lines?
I don't remember that, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah.
Definitely wouldn't rule that out.
Eric says, this is another Eric, a lot of Erics today. I don't think the Pats should go for a running back in the first round. We did that in 06 with Maroney, and he was a bust. I think the law firm played well last year. What about the Pats looking at D'Angelo Williams? Since he's a free agent, maybe he can fill in if Falk retires or isn't healthy. I think I agree with Paul, not in the first round, but I do think that they should upgrade running back.
Yeah, I would take D'Angelo Williams. I think it's going to cost you more than you're going to be willing to give up, however, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to get wrestled away from Carolina. But the one, even I don't want to take a running back in the first round. I don't. I don't really like that idea. Now, late in the first round, if the value was there and it worked out, sure. But I wouldn't be discouraged from taking a guy because they took a guy at that position. But, you know, if Maroney didn't work in 06, that doesn't dissuade me from taking a running back in the first round forever.
Right. Chad Jackson didn't work in the second round for wide receiver. I'd take one in the first round if I thought he was good.
Right. I mean, you're going to have busts at every position and in every in every round. I mean, you can't lose your nerve. You can't be afraid to make mistakes and go from that.
Mike writes in, he says, I analyzed my interpretation of starting running backs in the NFL from last year. There were 16 first rounders, 5 second rounders, 2 third rounders, none in the fourth round, 2 fifth rounders, none in the sixth, and 2 in the seventh, and 5 undrafted. Before I did this math, I sided with Paul, thinking that you can just as easily get quality running backs in lower rounds, but this seems to favor a significant amount of running backs to start in this league that are first rounders. It almost seems like if you aren't going to take one early in the first round, you'd better off not wasting a pick on one. There are just as many undrafted running backs that started last year as there are second rounders, and almost as many as all other rounds combined. So he's saying first round or bust for running back.
Yeah, I mean, to me, starting running back and quality running back are not necessarily the same thing. You know, every team's going to have a starter, just like every team has a starting quarterback. But they're not all good, and they're not all difference-making players. To me, you can find a difference-making player without having to extend a first-round pick.
He says that in the past 7 drafts, 70% of the first-round running backs taken are starting in the league, and this doesn't include guys like Jonathan Stewart and Donald Brown, who are first-rounders and will take over the starting job next year. With that level of success, it's hard to say taking a running back in the first round isn't good value.
Yeah, see, Donald Brown's a perfect example to me. Donald Brown's no better than a fifth-round pick, production-wise. But he'll be a starting first-round running back. Yeah, great. You didn't have to take him in the first round. He's not that good.
Tony writes in, I don't know what this means.
Certainly nowhere near Joseph Addai, who was taken pretty much in the same spot in the first round several years earlier.
Tony writes in, I don't know what this exactly means. He says, don't worry, guys. Nobody likes you, so you're doing your job. I don't know where that came from, but okay.
Sure.
I'll take that.
As Andy Hart would say. Sure.
Paul and Fred, this is from Eleanor. If you had...
Now, what accent is that?
It's just a high pitch.
She's the one that hates Eric.
Well, who doesn't?
When I was a young kid, we lived on the Cape. My mother had a friend named Eleanor. And she talked like this.
Oh, okay.
I am here.
So now I get it.
So everybody who's Eleanor, I always think of that.
Remember, she wrote the Eleanor. She now, wrote the email that spurned this response from Eric.
Screw you, bitch.
Wow.
That was terrible.
Wow.
That was terrible.
I don't know. With Eric's track record, he shouldn't be like alienating any one of the opposite sex.
No. Well, that's...
You know? You should keep all his options open.
You know what? I just looked down. It's 2:05. But I'll, and God forbid our producer to tell me what time it is.
I had no idea that.
So how long are we going here?
But since I mentioned Eleanor's email, I'll read it. Paul and Fred, if you had Denver's pick at number 2, who would you most not want the Panthers to take? P.S. Ian Rappaport is Randy Moss in St. Louis next season. What former Patriot currently in the NFL would you most like to bring back to pair with the existing group of players?
That's a great question.
Asante Samuel?
He would be in the mix. Richard Seymour would be in my mix. Expatriate.
Yeah. I don't know.
Certainly wouldn't be Randy Moss.
No.
That's for sure.
So Eleanor's question about who would you not want Denver to pick at 2?
If Denver had the 1, who would you take?
Quinn, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know what Denver's needs are.
No, but she's saying if you had Denver's pick, who would you not want the Panthers to pick so that you could have them?
Right, and I need to know what the Broncos' needs are.
What does that have? You have their pick. The Patriots have the Broncos' pick, right?
He said if you had Denver's pick.
The Broncos.
Right. No? That's not. Am I misreading the question?
If Broncos are number 2, right, in the draft?
Right. So if I have Denver's pick, who am I taking it? Who do I not want the Panthers to take?
Right. What does that have to do with the Broncos' needs?
Aren't the Broncos picking at 2?
We are. Oh. We have their pick.
Well, that's not the way I read the question.
Oh, okay.
Who would I want the Patriots to take if they had the number 2 pick?
I'm assuming she's saying if we were at number 2.
She said Fred and Paul. That's why I thought she meant us.
Oh, I thought we're picking for the Patriots.
Okay, you might be right.
I don't know.
But you said Fred and Paul, so I thought we were picking for Denver. You have us picking for the Patriots.
At 2.
Okay.
I just go till 5.
I don't know. Anyway.
I would say Von Miller.
Von Miller. Okay. Not fairly?
No.
All right.
I don't want an interior pass rusher.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
But that's also too high to take Von Miller.
Thanks for Randy for calling in. And, of course, stay tuned to Patriots.com. Ton of info coming out of the Combine. It's a big event now in the NFL. As for us, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was classic.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.